Oscar's in, and we've also got our special guest this lunchtime. We've got now is it Isaac Trethbridge?
Isaac Lethbridge.
Lethbridge? Where did that come from? Because what have I got on this email? So it's Lethbridge. Anyway, yeah. you know what it is. I've got something else written down here, but yeah, Lethbridge.
Yeah.
Okay, I've never heard. I've never ever met a Lethbridge before. Now you've just been elected. Tell us what's just happened.
So a couple months ago, I was elected to be the new member of Youth Parliament, representing the whole of the Isle of Wight. It's a position which lasts 2 years. I'm really honoured to have this position, really grateful and really looking forward to all the work I'll be able to get to be involved in over the course of these next 2 years. So,
what made you stand?
I think the previous youth MP, a lad called Joe Davies, he huge inspiration to me. I saw him speaking at an event a year or so before the election or anything came up, and that's when I joined the youth council, got progressively more involved in local politics, and I thought, yeah, this is something I really love doing. I feel I'll really be able to make a difference, so I'll do my best. What's the worst that could happen?
Well, indeed, what's the worst that can happen? So there you are, you've been in power for what? I'm guessing you got power
up to a point. It's I don't necessarily see it as a role of power, more so a role of sort of serving others, if we're going to be fairly poetic about it.
All right, okay. So you've been 2 months in the job?
Yeah,
thereabouts. Are you still enjoying it?
I'm loving it every moment, and I feel now I've sort of got my name out there a bit, so now it's really taking off.
What's the best thing that's happened in the last 2 months?
Oh, that's a big question. A lot of good things have been going on these past few months. I think to give quite a vague answer, just meeting new people, for example, appearing here is a huge honour. I'm really grateful for it. But just knowing that young people, I'm sort of there for them. So I'm sort of enabling myself to become more involved in young people's lives on the island. I think that's a great start.
All right, excellent. Obviously you're 15 years of age.
Yeah, 15.
And have you had any negativeness to deal with?
Not yet. So far, so good.
Nobody coming up and saying, oh, we got another politician in the making that's going to make a right pig's ear of it all and leave us in the lurch. No one said that to you yet.
People are quite hopeful, so well, long may that continue, I suppose.
Yeah, me too, and I'm with you on that. And I say two things I really like to do, and that is give young people a voice. And also, the other thing I like to do is own up and say and apologise on behalf of all the people my age for all the people that have messed it up. And as I said off air, I think we need to take a good, not you, but we... as people of a certain age, and politicians too, need to take a good, long, hard look at themselves and say, hey, are you happy with where we are? Because if you're happy with where we are and you've played a part, sleep easy in your bed. If you haven't, and you're not happy, then get out the way and let someone else come through that can do the job. I think we've inherited a bit of a... Well, you're going to inherit a bit of a mess. And I look at our national politicians at the moment, and I think for years they've all of them across the board, they've acted appallingly, and they haven't represented the people that put them there in the first place. And I'm hoping that maybe that people like yourself, a new brand of politics is coming through, and is going to put that right. Listen to people.
Absolutely, I completely agree, and I think to start with, the first thing we need to do to achieve this goal is to get more young people interested in talking about politics. So we're ready to take up the reins in 10, 20 years' time, however long, and sort of, in a way, do the job as we want it to be done. Because, I mean, a good example, we're not taught about politics at school, not nearly as much as we should. It's not mandatory, it's an option, which some schools don't even offer. And I think that's a complete disgrace. I think, how can we call ourselves a civilized democracy if we're not even teaching the future generations how to run the democracy? And so I think, sort of appearing on the radio, and I'll do whatever I can to get people interested in politics, get people talking about it, because that's then real change will follow.
Okay. I'm going to ask you what your role is in a minute. Because you've been elected for 2 years, what your role is, what you're going to do. But I just want to put that to the test, what you've just said, and bring in Oscar here. And I'm going to ask him a straightforward question. Are you switched on with politics, interested in politics?
No.
At all?
No.
Do you know what's going on?
No.
Do you know who your Prime Minister is? No. At the moment?
No.
Got no idea. No. See that? That's and I'm not having a go at Oscar at all, and I'm not trying to highlight the fact that you don't know those things. That's the size of your job, because Oscar is not alone. There's a lot of people out there and have watched politicians mess up, completely ignore the people of this country, and that's a result. He's not. You're not engaged in it at all. You're not interested in politics at all. I'm surprised that you don't know who the Prime Minister is. But then, you know, that's all going to change in the next couple of weeks anyway, and then you'll probably know. Who do you reckon it could be? You don't have any interest at all in politics. And I can't stress enough, I'm not trying to make you look small or anything like that. That's the nature of the job. He is not alone. There's grown-ups out there that have no interest.
Yeah, and to be honest, with sort of how far away it all seems, I can't blame people for not being interested. It very much feels that these politicians don't represent me. I never voted for this person. Why should I care? So it's no fault of your own that you're not interested in politics. It's something that I think we as a society really need to look at and really need to ask ourselves how we're going to tackle this.
Okay, I'm going to come back to you in a moment, but I'm going to ask you another question now. Is any politics taught in your school?
No.
None at all?
No.
Right, none ever?
No, because in our school they wouldn't understand. They wouldn't understand what half of the students at our school wouldn't know what politics is, or they wouldn't just understand what it is.
And I would imagine there's a number of schools that are, you know, exactly the same. So you've got a big job there. What is your role then for the next 2 years? What do you do?
So my role as member of Youth Parliament is to represent the views and the voice of the young people on the island on a national stage. Best example of this I can give. In November, I get to meet up with all the other youth MPs across the country, and we sit in the House of Commons and vote and debate on what should be our priority, what we should campaign on for the next year. I believe this past year, the Youth Parliament have been campaigning on tackling knife crime and Votes at 16, two sort of very important issues. But equally, as youth MP, I will do everything I can to involve myself in local community politics. And already I support the work of the council, and they're involved in their current outreach work to schools. And so it's sort of two sides to it. The local side, largely working with youth council, and the national level, sort of, well, in various conferences and whatnot across the country.
Okay, so just put it in simple terms so an old bloke can understand it. It's you're like the MP, and we've also got youth as well. How many are within the youth council?
We've just had elections within the youth council a couple months ago, so they've just signed their new terms, and it's brilliant. I believe there's about 20, 30-ish. That's quite a big range.
All around the island? Represented, yep. All around the island?
All around the island, all different walks of life. It's brilliant, and bearing in mind the last term, we were sort of ending with about 5 people who would come regularly. Now we've got a good group, and they're an absolutely amazing bunch, and they feel really passionate about a variety of issues across the island. So,
what's the main issue that they'll be talking about at the moment? I mean, I'm intrigued, I'm not patronising, just I'm interested, because it's very rare that we get to hear, and this is what I want to offer you and the Youth Council, a voice. Come in, do your own show. Let's hear you. Let's hear you. Let's hope and help that we can make a difference together.
Absolutely.
You know, then you can engage with people like Oscar, and he can have a say in what goes on, and other people too. It's really vital that we do this, because, you know, what's going on at the moment? What's the big beef? What are you disagreeing on? What are you agreeing on? What do you think should happen?
Sure. So my personal priority as a member of Youth Parliament is definitely step one, get more young people interested and involved in politics. Once people know what's going on and once people feel really passionately about different issues, then everyone will start going, hang on, I don't agree with that, I'm going to do everything I can to change it. But I think it has to come first, the education about what's going on. And like we were saying earlier, the fact it's not taught in schools, I see as an absolute disgrace. And I feel it's almost making it impossible for real change to come on down the line. If people don't know what's going on, they're not going to be interested. So it's no fault of your own, like I say. The Youth Council, it'll be really interesting. We're currently working on our manifesto, so I'm not sure how much exactly I'm allowed to say. But in the next few weeks, hopefully, we should sort of see more news from them. And we sort of have our general priorities, but sort of sorting out what our number one issue is to get as many people rallied behind it.
But do you think, I mean, this is where I kind of, I'm an open, honest guy, and I think, right, already you're having secrets. Don't have secrets. Talk about it. Well, be out in the open. I don't want to put you on the spot. I don't want you to say anything you don't want to say, and I won't do that. But all I will say is, here's some advice. The minute you say, and we're working on our manifesto, which really kind of frustrates me, because I'm thinking, okay, so I'm not part of that then, and I'm not part of that. That's the trouble with politics. Yeah. I feel left out.
Yeah, and I completely agree. And the reason, I don't want it to feel like a secret. That was perhaps the wrong wording on my part. I don't represent everyone on the Youth Council.
Sure.
There's 15, 20 other people on it, and I'm not the chairperson or the vice chairperson, so I don't necessarily feel qualified to give a definite answer. I can promise you, however, that they are a fantastic group of people, really passionate about the island. And
what do they want to see happen? Because I know, just say for instance, there's talk of universities, there's talk of all sorts of things that are going to happen that are going to be better for young people, and I'm all for it, because I think it's about time. What tends to happen is, Oscar, is, and you probably see this, people get to 16, 17, 18, they go across to the mainland, university, colleges, and so on and so forth, and they never come back. And you think, how sad is that? That we lose our youngsters and our brains and so on and so forth, and they just disappear. Well, what's that? Because we've got nothing here for them.
Yeah,
we haven't got a university. We haven't got those things that they, you know, that they go off on the mainland to find. And I think once we've stopped that, we seem to be hemorrhaging young people. Young people will leave the island, and all of a sudden, the average age on the island has shot up to something like 65. And the reason is because people are leaving the island.
Absolutely, there's very little aspirations down here. And I mean, I love the island, I'm really glad I've grown up here, but I know I'm very likely to go off to university, so post 18 it'll be years and years before I come back to the island, if at all. And I completely agree, that's a really, really sad thing. And I think in a lot of ways that's what's holding the island back. We need proper education opportunities down here. We need proper employment opportunities down here. And we are making progress, don't get me wrong, but there needs to be more. And I don't know exactly which direction would be the best. All I know is we need to start moving in a direction.
Okay, look, you sit down and you have meetings with the Youth Council.
Yep.
And you say, how many of them? Right? When you get into a room and they're all, how many youth councillors have we got?
About 20 come regularly.
Okay.
I believe, don't quote me on the exact figures.
And their representation around the Isle of Wight,
yep.
in towns, a variety of towns across the island and so on.
Yeah.
Is there any way that we can contact them? Just say, for instance, people like Oscar now thinking, right, okay, is there a website that I can go to find out more about what you're doing, you know, if you need support or advice, ideas, or what to find out more about what you're doing? Is there a website?
Absolutely. There's the Youth Council have its own section on the Isle of Wight Council website. They also have all sorts of social medias. There's a video on YouTube explaining exactly what the Youth Council are and sort of recent initiatives. And so there's also an email address. I can't remember off the top of my head. But I think the most direct way to get in contact with the Youth Council is to contact them on their social medias, Instagram, Twitter, whatever you want.
Okay, so what, you just type in what, Youth Council?
Yeah,
and it'll come up.
IW Youth Council is most
okay.
of them.
And there is something on the website as well?
Yeah, through the Isle of Wight Council website.
Okay, which I'm told gets a million hits.
Wow.
I don't know whether that's daily, weekly, monthly, or whatever, but I would imagine it's over a period of time. But it's quite a busy website, the old Isle of Wight Council website. How old is youth? How old have you got to be part of the youth council or a youth MP? How old can you be? You know, when
it starts from 11. So 11? Sort of at the same sort of time you're going into secondary school.
Okay, and how old, you know, what's the oldest you can be?
It goes up to 18. However, if you're very much involved in the youth council and want to continue supporting their work, I believe they do allow you to carry on until 21 if you're sort of still working and very passionate member.
Okay, I'm going to put you on the. I wouldn't, if you was a proper, you know, a full blown councillor, you'd know what you were allowed to say and so on and so forth.
Sure.
I'm just going to ask you a question. I'm going to put you on the spot, so think carefully about your answer because I don't want to get you into trouble. Are you allowed to be political?
It's an interesting question, and that sounds very much like what a politician would say. But officially, the Youth Council and the Member of Youth Parliament are apolitical roles. We don't align with a particular political party or religion or any organisation. However, it's sort of a catch-22 if you have a group of passionate young people interested in politics. Of course they're going to have deep-rooted opinions. And I've got very passionate opinions, which I very much rant about behind closed doors and whatnot. I think if our goal is to encourage people to be interested in politics, of course we're going to have these debates. But officially speaking, with our work, we will not be affiliated with any one side.
Okay.
So we'll be inclusive of everybody.
So you have to be careful what you say.
I have to be careful, yeah.
Even if it's just an opinion, this is what you think. You know, you still have to be very careful.
Absolutely.
Good.
Yeah.
Thank you for answering that. And, you know, have you got a question there, Oscar?
Yeah.
Good. Go on, ask it.
What would you change about the island in the future?
Good question.
How long have we got?
We've only got 35 minutes, Oscar. And you drop that one. You drop that one in on him, and he's got 30. Look at the pressure he's under now.
The island. Oh, there's a lot I'd change. I mean, like I say, it's a beautiful island, and there's so much I love about it. I think talking about future education opportunities, I don't think in its current state, at least, the island would be able to sustain its own independent university. I think that'd be too much too soon. However, I think a great first step, and I don't know the exacts of how this could work, but if we almost have one campus or one section of another university to set up somewhere on the island to almost get the ball rolling, get young people into the island, more businesses would open, more sort of, there'd be a greater demand for low-cost housing, which I know is quite a big, quite controversial issue on the island at the minute. And so I think more education provisions after 16 would be my sort of my first answer for what I'd change about the island, the top of my list.
So you're looking after number one?
Sorry?
You're looking after number one then?
Yeah.
I don't blame you. No one's looked after you. This is my whole point.
Yeah.
We've inherited this pickle. I say this is this world that we live in now. Let's not forget, and people will push it away because they are this is someone, this is some idiot on the radio, myself, poking somebody and saying, hey, look, this is a grown-up world that we live in.
Yeah.
We created this. We made this. So if it's messy, we have to own up to it.
Yeah.
You know, did we leave it in a bit of a state, just like we went out this morning and left the kitchen in a bit of a mess? Did we do that? Yes, we did. Very often people will say, no, I didn't do it. Somebody else must have done this. But that's where we've got to own up.
Yeah.
And that's where we've got, things have got to change in the near future. And they have.
Really,
otherwise it will just, if you do the same, same things will happen. And then the next generation will come along and they'll inherit an even bigger mess.
Yeah.
And we need to have done this 30, 40 years ago, sadly.
Absolutely, yeah.
But we need young people, like you say, to come in and change things, have a voice, have a vote. And we've not learned anything, even in the last two or three, four, 5 years. When we had the Scottish elections up there, I think 16-year-olds were allowed to vote.
They were, absolutely, yeah.
That's how it should have been.
If they can do it, why can't we?
When it came down to Brexit, there should have been 16-year-olds being able to vote, because it was going to affect them a lot longer than it will me.
And if you were 16 years old when the referendum happened, because of how long everything's taken, you would be old enough to vote.
Absolutely.
So if you were 16 at the time, I mean, I would feel so frustrated at like you say, the country is in such a political mess at the minute, and it's my generation which are going to have to inherit this. And I don't want to blame everybody, all the older generations, because I do think it's an issue we need to work together on. But I do think we need to do more. If we are going to solve these issues which affect everyone, we need to do more to involve everyone. And first step is to educate young people about politics, get them involved, give them the vote, and then 20 or so years down the line, we will see sort of the fruits of the labour. We'll see what change has been produced from telling people what's going on.
Okay. So, the other side of the coin is, and I mean, I say, there are people that are not political and they just get on with it, and that's the people that make Britain great. Because they are just getting on with it.
Yeah.
Look at us. I'm going to blow our trumpet now. We do a lot of stuff for young people that are struggling, and we build up confidence, communication. You've read stuff on the website. We just get on with it.
Yeah, absolutely.
We've had lots of people. We've had our funding cut because of people being blind and not seeing the outcomes and so on and so forth. And you think, yeah, okay, we can moan and we groan, but we still just get on with it and make a difference. And that, while all these politicians are running around like headless chickens trying to convince each other that one's better than the other, everyone else just gets on with it. And they are making a difference, whereas those kind of politicians are not making a difference at all. I look forward to the... Do you know they have recess, don't they? They have 6 weeks off, and I think,
yeah.
Brilliant. That's probably the best 6 weeks of the year, that is.
At least they can't mess anything more up.
Exactly. Oscar, you got another question there. He's furiously writing these questions down for you.
What age do you think it should be to vote?
16.
Good question. 16. Why,
16, definitely.
Why 16?
I think 16 is the appropriate sort of cut-off because you would have finished mandatory secondary education. You'd be going into apprenticeships or sixth forms or whatnot. And so that's when you start thinking about work and taxes. If you have a job, a part-time job at 16, you have to pay taxes on it, so it comes back to taxation without representation. You're old enough to serve in the military, so if you're old enough to serve and die for your country, you should be able to select your leader. You're old enough to get married with your parents' consent. And so I think 16 is the age you should be allowed to vote, because so many, that's sort of, in the way I see it, is almost when you're sort of full-time care stops. And I don't mean to sound patronising or anything like that, but you're not in school like sort of all day every day. You're making your own choices, you're making your own way in the world, and you start thinking about your family and what you want to do for the rest of your life. And so I think it's outrageous that you can't have a say in how the country will function.
Do you think they bring that in?
I don't think the current government would, I've got to be honest. Now, I think they don't, and they don't want to bring in votes of 16 for quite a bad reason, I think. I think because, and I don't mean to get too political when I say this, but generally speaking, a lot of the supporters of our current government aren't 16. And that is a generalisation. But so I think if they gave 16-year-olds a vote, a lot of them would say, hang on, you lot have created this mess, we want to get rid of you, and whoever else they get in is more up to the 16-year-olds. But I think the current government especially is scared of letting 16-year-olds vote.
Okay. I've just done a little bit of digging, all right? Because when I left school at the age of 16, and I didn't want to stay on. I wanted to just go and get a job and work. Whether it was the right thing for me to do or not, things have changed since then, and they like you to stay on longer or stay in some kind of education, which is fine. That's the way the world's changed. That's fine. I would have hated it. I couldn't wait to leave school. I was ready to get a job. But what I did get was an NI number, National Insurance Number, and that's apparently what you get when you're 16.
Yeah.
So I'm saying if you get a National Insurance Number at the age of 16, then surely they can wangle it so that you can get a vote.
Yeah,
because
it'd be very
it makes
easy.
Sense.
The logistics behind it would be very easy to sort out, I'm sure.
But going back to the points you've made, and I think they're solid points, and I think maybe it is a case of we look at these things and we say, let's address it. Let's look at this properly. We're going to give 16-year-olds the vote, okay? But we're not going to give them the vote for at least a year. We're not going to bring that law in, but what we're also going to do is we're going to start teaching politics in school. So it's not just an extension of a family vote. So just say, for instance, if you're at home and your mum and dad are staunch whatever, They could be Liberal Democrats. They might be Nigel Farage fans. They might be, you know, True Reds or True Blues. And any other colours that are out there, it's just an... if you're 15, 16, it could be an extension of their votes. Whereas, if you get taught it at school, then you can make up your own mind. And I think if they were to make that lesson, like they're teaching sex education in school now, you know, I think, okay, that's important. It's important to get the right age too, but it's also important to teach politics at the right age. But if they said, right, from now on, in 12 months' time, we're going to put this, so when you go back to school in September, you will be learning, at the age of 15, politics. Like you probably have a lesson where you can learn, I don't know what they would call it in your school, but just say, for instance, do you learn like household things like cooking, ironing, things like that?
Up to a point of a... In my opinion, those sort of basic life skills definitely need to be extended as well.
Definitely, so. Absolutely. And maybe they put that all in as one.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think that'd be the sensible way to go about it, because I share your concerns. I don't want 16-year-olds to get the vote just to go, oh, I'll vote the same way my dad's voting because I don't know any different. I want people to have their own opinions and vote how they feel.
How would you feel about doing an exam in a year's time? So when I asked you who the Prime Minister was, you'd know. And you'd also know what she stood for. Equally, what her party stands for, the opposition stands for, and anybody else that is in the political world that is coming forward. If you passed that exam, that means you can vote. I think there's a few grown-ups that would fail that exam, to be quite honest.
Also, it's like that as well. It's like where we were talking about earlier, is like, half of the people wouldn't understand as well, like me and other people wouldn't understand, like, well, not understand, but like they wouldn't know how to like vote, like saying
he's looking for help. I think this is it's almost his last day and I'm not going to give you any. Nah, go on, drown. What are you trying to say, Oscar? Would you be interested in doing an exam? If just say, for instance, I was your head teacher and I came to you, I'd be a good head teacher. I came to you and I said, look, Oscar, when you come back in September, you've got 12 months to learn all about politics. It's not going to be like, you know, don't have to learn the history of. We just want you to learn the absolute basics. So you know when you're putting a cross where you're actually going to put it and it means something to you and you know you've done the right thing. You can learn that for the next 12 months and it will be like... an hour a week. You don't need too much. Just an hour a week, basics. At the end of it, you doing a little exam that enables you to vote before you get to the 18th birthday. Okay? Or you could opt out. What would you do?
Opt out.
Do you know what? See, now you're being honest, aren't you? Because I could see that's like, oh, crikey, that's just extra work, isn't it? That's what you're up against. And again, I'm not having a go at you, Oscar, but that's what you're up against. Politics is not exciting. It doesn't do anything for people. But when they get a little bit older and they look at it and they think, hang on a minute, politics is what makes the work. Sadly, even though I think the workers do the work and carry on and politicians are making all these decisions, it's people that are at the sharp end that have to just get on with it and make it work for those decisions that they're making. And when you get a little bit older, you'll realise that, and then you might just think, well, hang on a minute, I wished I'd have taken Ian up on that offer of 1 year of learning about politics. But you're just not interested at all, are you?
No.
Not at all.
No.
And I say, you are not the only one. Let's take a break. We come back with more from our youth MP.
Yeah, the member of Youth Parliament.
There's only one of you.
Only me.
Only one. Yeah. So and that's you
for the entire like for the next 2 years. Well, just under 2 years now.
Okay. And we'll talk more about what you're going to be doing in the big house when you go up there in November.
Yep.
Okay. Which is something you're excited about?
Oh, I'm absolutely thrilled about it.
You look it. We'll come back. We'll chat some more.
Vex's Radio 104.6
for the people, by the people. The Medina Theatre, your premier venue for arts, music and comedy.
Legendary folk rock pioneers Linda Spahn are here on the 2nd of August with a classic lineup, including original found member Rod Clements. And then on the 30th of August, it's We Love Little Mix. Four hugely talented performers pay tribute to one of the UK's finest girl bands in a high-energy show that's perfect for all ages.
Call the box office on 823 884 or visit medinatheatre.co.uk.
Are your staff struggling to find the energy to push your business onto the next level? Would a more energised, focused and happier workforce benefit your business? Then you need the Fit Mindset Code. We provide business-specific health, fitness and wellbeing courses designed around your business needs. Contact us on 07966 070 636 or visit the website on www.thefitmindsetcode.com. Energise your business potential. It's all in the mindset.
Friends of the Animals is a caring and practical animal welfare and rescue charity based in Newport. We specialise in preventative work such as spaying and neutering. Our reduced price neutering scheme enables hard-pressed owners to do the sensible thing and get their animals neutered. So, if you need help with the cost of neutering your dog, cat or rabbit, or if you would just like a copy of our free newsletter, ring Friends of the Animals on 522 511. That's 522 511.
Are you a male survivor of domestic abuse? Are you struggling to believe in yourself? Break the Cycle's free Mind the Gap course for men only, beginning in September at the Riverside Centre, will help you build your self-worth and begin to move you forward positively in your life. To find out more, contact 01983 754666 or breakthecycle.org.uk or hello at breakthecycle.org.uk, all in complete confidence.
Hi, all you lovely Vectis Radio listeners, it's Rick O'Shea and some news about the 100K show. We're going to be on Sunday as well. Show's going to have a few changes, but all the lovely variety of music that you've come to enjoy. So join me, Rick O'Shea, only on Vectis Radio, on both Saturdays and Sundays at 5 p.m. Wow.
Broadcasting to you from the Riverside Centre in Newport, this is your Vectis Radio, FM 104.6.
The Mid-Morning Show is proudly sponsored by PC Consultants, the island's leading provider of IT service, consultancy and support to businesses, public sector and private clients across the island. PC Consultants, an award-winning company celebrating 25 years in business.
It just ended, just like that. And I wondered whether it would, because it was only a two-minute song. Normally, that's about 3.5 minutes. But there you go, half of Madonna and Hanky Panky. Now, in the studio, we have our youth MP.
Hello.
It is youth MP. That's the correct terminology.
Yeah.
Which is, now, let me get this right. It's Isaac Lethbridge.
Isaac Lethbridge.
Lethbridge, right. Okay, and we've also got Oski in the studio as well. He's got another question for you in a mo. And we were just talking about, politics, politicians, how they are now. And, I look at it and think, if we've got to have a new breed of politicians, there's no copying the ones that we have got, because otherwise history will repeat itself. And I used my football analogy, which I don't know. Oscar looked at me as if to say, you're crazy. Did you understand what I was trying to say? And if so, did you believe it?
No, I didn't get.
You didn't understand it?
No.
Okay. Well, look. What I'm trying to say is that if we look at politicians the way they are now, and we try and copy them, I'm not saying you're copying them, but what I am saying is be very aware, because otherwise, if we do the same, we'll get the same.
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. And I don't want the same, because I am one of those people that. I'm not happy with where we are and what we've done and what we're leaving for people of your generation. It's a mess. It's a pickle. Britain is still great, but it just needs to tidy a few things up.
Absolutely, yeah, I agree.
And I say, I'm very patriotic when it comes down to Britain and so on. I would love to see the right things happen from here on in. And I don't believe that if we just copy what we've already got, and that's going to be for the future. We just get more of the same, and yeah. I don't know. Even if we can change the way things are, I'm not even sure we can do that. We may already be doing the best we can, and this is it. I don't believe that to be true. And what I'm saying is, my football analogy was: if you look at every Saturday, if somebody gives away a free kick outside the penalty area every week. Mm-hmm. You watch this on Match of the Day or Sky or anything. Southampton, no matter whether you're Southampton or Portsmouth or Arsenal or Man United or Chelsea, all of those teams, what they would do is they'll do the Donald Trump thing and build a wall. Okay? They'll build a wall and invariably, someone will score because the goalkeeper's unsighted. They can't see. But every week, what I'm saying is that they do the same thing. Week in, week out, because previous managers have done exactly the same thing. And you go back to the days of Gordon Banks, when we had decent goalkeepers. Gordon Banks was a World Cup winner. Okay, he used to say, I don't want a wall. Don't build a wall. If I can't save the ball from your shot outside the penalty area, I'm not worth being in goal. And he's absolutely right. But somebody had that idea. We've copied it like sheep and just carried on. And I just hope that one day politics will not repeat itself, because you're going to talk about history in a mo, and the history that you've looked on politicians, yeah, and so on and so forth. And you must get, when you hear stories from 1983 or when you hear stories from 1963, politics, wars, they're all the same. It just goes round and round and round. And I say, can we stop that wheel turning? Can we have a new breed of politics? Can we have a new breed of politicians? That's where you come in.
I mean, I hope we can. I very much agree with you. I'm not sure. It might be too late to bring about a new breed. The big concern I have is going to be a huge amount of work. The last hundreds of years have been, the way I see it, it's been a small group of a population cementing their power and cementing their wealth and doing all these different tricks to keep themselves there. And that's heightened very much so since 1900. And so it's going to, dramatic changes are going to have to happen in our society to get a complete breakaway from the past. I don't think we need to change everything. I'm very much like you. I'm consider myself patriotic. I love this country. I want the best for the country. And for me, that's enabling the common man, the common woman, to be able to climb up, to be able to make their own way in life and not be held back. And I believe this government and so many governments before have been holding them back.
I'm going to offer you some advice, all right? Not in a patronising way.
Sure.
Because I know that you were kind of talking about when you enter this arena, and everyone knows your business, and there'll be plenty of people that will want to bring you down, trip you up or whatever. Whatever you do in the next X amount of years, make sure you think closely. You give it plenty of time. No knee-jerk reactions, because whatever you do is under a much bigger microscope than it was 20 years ago, 5 years ago. Whatever you do, whatever you say, whatever you tweet, whatever you put on Facebook, that is out there for everybody to see. I mean, just say, for instance, if we were taking Donald Trump to task, we could be there for another century with all the things that he's posted and so on and so forth. There was a particular politician, local politician, I'm not going to name because it wouldn't be fair, but he made several mistakes in his early political years as a young person like yourself, and they came home to roost at some point in his life and didn't help him one bit. So what I'm saying is basically you have to watch what you say and do. And I know so far that, you know, we've asked you some, you know, some tricky questions. We've given you a bit of a warning that we've got some tricky questions, but you've answered them, and you've answered them fairly accurately and without that point of, well, we can pull them up on later date for that one and so on and so forth. So all I'm saying is be very careful about what you say, but more importantly, you know, give it some real thought about what you want to do between now and, you know, your 2 year tenure, whether you do want to get involved in politics, because your life will not be your own again. You look at these politicians and you think they have, and you just think, every day there's someone camped outside of Jeremy Corbyn's house. Every well, maybe you're one person that can change that.
Yeah, I mean,
is that right? Is that allowed? Should that be allowed?
I probably not, to be honest. And I think another reason why I'm so glad I've had this opportunity of almost being youth MP, it's almost like a taster session. I can see, and if I find it's too much, if you were going to go straight into sort of mainstream politics at an older age, it would be so much harder to step back from it. And so I feel very privileged to have this opportunity to almost find my feet and sort of not make those mistakes, which a lot of people have.
And make a decision at the end of it whether you want to take it any further. Yeah. Because the next point is you let everybody in. Yeah. Everybody knows your business, and you know, they'll be checking your bins for stuff. They'll be checking your internet. They'll be doing all sorts of stuff. I've had a bit of a dig at politicians, but they do have. I mean, they bring it on themselves a lot of the time. But you know, their life is not their own. They will dig every little bit of dirt. And I'm not saying you've got any dirt, and your family hasn't as well. But think twice before you actually go into it. You're doing the right thing. You're making a difference at this level, this young level, and hopefully it's a try before you buy, a bit like what you said. You got a question there, Roski?
Yes, I do. How did you get into politics?
Well, yeah, what inspired you?
That's a good question.
Does that come on to Clement Attlee now, or not?
Up to a point, definitely.
Go on, explain.
So, with Clement Attlee, recently I've done a project at school. You pick a topic, and you pick a question, you write a 5,000-word dissertation answering that question. And so I picked mine about why did Winston Churchill lose the 1945 general election. And it was hugely interesting. And Clement Attlee, he was the head of the Labour Party at the time. He was the man who beat Winston Churchill and became our Prime Minister just after World War II. And reading about what he did and how he achieved it, I felt so almost in a way very inspired. And I mean, it's hard to say, but I look up to him much more than I do any modern politicians. And perhaps that was because it was from a time where you didn't have this sort of microscopic media digging through everything you've ever done. You don't have the constant barrage of social media. And so a big sort of starting point for politics was that project and Clement Attlee, but there was times before that too where I sort of...
So why did he lose it? Because I've always you know, just say, for instance, go back in time. You have you heard of these two guys that we're talking about here?
Winston
Churchill?
Yeah.
Okay, Winston Churchill obviously was the Prime Minister at the time, which got us through the Second World War, okay, and everybody would have loved him, and then all of a sudden he's getting kicked out.
Yeah.
I never understood that, because, you know, you think, well, Britain just turned on him.
And that's why, largely, I chose to study this question, because it is so interesting. And even at the time, the data shows he was loved. People saw him as a wartime hero. But And largely, I have sympathy for him because it was very much out of his control why he lost. My sort of research and reading found that it was when the Conservative Party and the Labour Party and all the rest of them made the Grand Coalition at the start of the Second World War, the Conservatives stuck to the spirit of the coalition very much. Their top priority was always defeating Hitler, as it should have been. However, the Labour Party, they continued to have their annual conferences. They continued to develop their manifesto and build up their sort of political force at home, and the Conservatives didn't. And so it was a case, the Conservatives found themselves at the end of World War II victorious, thinking, well, what do we do now? We've completed our goal, we won the Second World War. They don't have a relevant manifesto, their ideas were outdated. Winston Churchill, in a way, embodied and represented a time that had passed. People were just eager to never see anything like that again. And so Clement Attlee came along with his updated manifesto they'd been tweaking throughout the war, and it hit home with so many people. And so in a lot of ways, it wasn't even Winston Churchill's fault they lost.
So it could have been just a basic, okay, he was the best man for the job to get us through that.
Yeah, very
and
much
then,
so.
And then
yeah.
To pick up the pieces, you needed a different manifesto.
Yeah. Winston Churchill, people saw him as a wartime leader. They saw him as a great wartime leader, but they thought, hang on, you don't really have any ideas for now. Your ideas were how to win the war, and you've done that, and thank you very much, but now what? And Winston
right.
Churchill and the Conservatives, I believe, at the time struggled to answer that question.
So what about old Clement then? Did he, in those next few years, I mean, you know, did he rebuild Britain the way that he said he was going to, and the way that people were they happy with what, you know, would they have voted for him again? They obviously kicked him out at some point,
yeah.
Didn't they?
It was.
Did it work?
I believe it did. Clement Attlee, this was the time.
How come they don't make films about Clement Attlee then?
Who knows? I mean, I don't necessarily believe he was the biggest character. You have Winston Churchill, who was so much more sort of a massive personality. Clement Attlee came in, he brought about the NHS, he brought about council houses, he rebuilt Britain. And then 5 years later, people had, I suppose, lost interest. And my sort of knowledge sort of cuts off around here. But he did lose against Winston Churchill in 1951. So Winston Churchill came back for almost round two and became Prime Minister and was very involved in politics pretty much until he died.
Mm.
And so I believe Clement Attlee was very almost exactly the same how people saw Winston Churchill as wartime leader. They saw Clement Attlee as a man who could come in, rebuild the country, but that was it. Perhaps. I mean, this is just one interpretation of it, of course.
Okay, look, we're running out of time. Have you got any more questions, Oscar? Is that it?
No, that's it.
That's it. All right, we've got a few more minutes to go. And I know that, you know, that the main focus here is we want more younger people to be involved in politics. And hopefully this will lead to maybe a career in politics, maybe a career in, being a council and councillor and so on and so forth. Because, you know, at the end of the day, we have, people that are involved in politics. I would say that it's probably the youngest bunch of politicians that we've had in a number of years. There was that lady from Scotland that came in and made a real difference. And, basically, you need people across the board to come in and make a real difference. And maybe let's throw out the old model. The old model got us here. We need to work on what we do in the future, if that's possible. I mean, the sad thing is if you've got the same sort of mentality, we're going to have the same things happening. If we're happy with that, then that's fine. If you could change anything, even locally, nationally, let's go for national. If you could change anything, what would it be?
My sort of flagship issue, definitely. Bring in mandatory politics education across the country. Doesn't necessarily have to be linked with an exam, or doesn't have to be too intense. Just teach people the basics. Even if we don't bring down the voting age, it's vital people understand the world that they're going into and how they can change that world for the better.
Right. Okay. It's been great to spend some time with you. We've still got a little while left to go, and I want to say that if people want to know more about you and your role and the Youth Council's role as well, they can check out the Isle of Wight Council website.
Yep.
And there's also an email that they can contact you. Before you give that out, I'm just going to ask you, because if you were just an ordinary councillor that's just come in, you're fair game, you're old enough, you're only 15, and you're under, this is probably the first time you've ever done anything like this, so I'm going to, do you really want to give out your email address, is what I'm saying?
It is not my personal email address. I've planned for this. It is an email address specifically for youth MP related issues, so I'm happy for people to contact it.
Do you have full access to it? Does someone like look after it and then send the stuff to you? Are you protected in that way? So just say, for instance, is it vetted? Just say, for instance, there was a bloke out there who turned out to be a right nutter. It's thought, right, I've heard you on the radio. All I'm going to do is I'm going to send you a real snotty, horrible email. Does that get vetted and do you get to see it? Are you protected in that way?
I don't believe I have any special protections, but I...
We should have something in place.
Definitely something to look into, yeah.
Are the emails vetted before they get to you? Or do you get to open them up the first time?
It goes to nobody but me at this stage.
Okay. Right, okay. Good luck with that one then.
Sure. Thank you.
Do you get a lot of emails?
I've got one so far from someone inviting me to come along to a charity fundraising event, which I'm really looking forward to.
Excellent, good.
And so I hope people use the email in that sense and not for any sort of abuse.
Is the RMP a support? RMP, is he a support?
Oh yeah, before I became the Member of Youth Parliament, he met with the Youth Council
a
number of months ago and sort of talked to us all, and I know he's quite keen to become more involved in youth politics and support the Youth Council.
Okay, we never talked about the most important thing, which is you going to the big house in November.
House of Commons.
Will you come back at some point in the near future?
To Vectis Radio?
Yes.
I would love to.
Okay.
I'd absolutely love to.
We will sort something out, and maybe we'll bring in a couple of your councillors as well.
That'd be absolutely
council,
brilliant, yeah.
Give them a voice. Brilliant. Thank you. Great to meet you, and good luck. And if there's anything we can do to help, then please don't hesitate to ask.
Thank you so much for having me today.
You're welcome. And thank you for your killer questions, Oscar. Sure.